and all that is out there in our world, all that you are sustaining, all that you are caring for. We cannot even wrap our minds around every individual heart in our world you're working with and you're changing. And God, as we sing that song, I pray that that is the desire of our heart, that you change and mold us and make us into that vessel meant for your use. And God, even as we study tonight, what's that look like? And God, I pray as we study that you just open our minds and our hearts, and God, allow us to continue to understand what your words teach. And God, we just lift it up to you in your Son's name. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to go through a little bit, and we talked this morning, and this is one of the texts that I brought. And as we shared last Sunday, our Sunday nights are like a mixture between a Sunday school, a message, however that works. But I like to ask questions at times, and when someone asks a question, they usually like an answer. Just saying, okay? So tonight, we're going to ask some questions, which means... All right, some of you got that. Would like some answers back. And I know those who watch this live, sometimes it's very frustrating because we hear back, well, we can't hear what anybody says. Well, come to church. Anyway, they just heard me say that. But anyway, it's great to be able to get the Word of God out to others. So we're trying to work with that. But the only way to do that is for you to speak up a little bit, and they can try to pick you up somewhat. But it's important. But for each of us here, we really need to just try to grasp. And my goal in this, and I'll tell you, when this morning and understanding Peter's heart, as we did last week and this week, about I'm going to die. I want you to have the truth when I'm gone. That spoke volumes to me. And yes, we have the Word of God, but we've been studying on Sunday nights how to pick it apart and for it to become real in our lives. And so as we challenged my life and our lives, as you read the Word of God, just read the Word of God. And when you see a struggle, or you're somewhere, all of us are somewhere in life, and we all have our struggles, we all have our frustrations, we all have our worries, even though we're not supposed to, we do anyway. And we have our decisions we need to make. And so when you're reading the Word of God and something strikes you like, oh man, I'm right there, pause, stop. Because God is about to speak to you as you read the next verses. You see, we need to look at it as there is nothing that you and I will face that God has not addressed in the Word of God. There's nothing that we will ever have to overcome that has not already someone in Scriptures tried to overcome. And so when you're reading, let that come alive. Just pause for a minute, because God's going to speak to you. Because the same answer God gave Peter, Paul, and all the church in the first century, he's going to give you the same answer. He is the God that doesn't change. What he said back then is still as true, as good, and as applicable as it is today. So I want you to read the Word of God like it's real. Don't just read it as it was for them. No, it's for you. And don't read to study. And one of the things I have as a little reminder, that listen to learn, not respond. Now just think about that. How many times do you listen in a conversation and you're already thinking of an answer? You're already one step ahead of them. You're going to give them an answer. As soon as they finish that sentence, whoom, you come out with an answer. I'm really good at that, Kim. I am so good at that. Half the time I don't listen to hear and learn, I'm ready with a response. And then you know how I justify that? But hon, that's what I do for a living. I have to give answers. It doesn't work, trust me. It don't matter. It doesn't work. If we would just think of the Word of God like that, don't read it just to know. Read it to learn. Read it to, God, what are you teaching me today? So I want the Word of God to become so real that when you read it, you know God is speaking to you in that moment through the Word of God. So that's what we're doing. So on Sunday nights, what we like to do is I'll take something that I may have studied through for the Sunday morning message, and we just expound on it. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And first of all, when I started through my CPE training, which got me the ability to be a certified chaplain, one of the papers that we had to read was Walk Like a Chaplain. I thought, huh, this ought to be interesting. And it was a literal story of a man who walked into a room, and this patient said, I knew you were a chaplain. So he said, well, how did you know? Because you walk like a chaplain. And he went on in this article to explain from the patient's view what that looked like. And I thought, you know, that's a good question. So when we look at this, we studied this morning about the cross was good for all, sufficient. It was effective to those who believe, but it was sufficient for all. Paid the penalty of sin for everyone. And so when we have that, and we have Christ that we believe, we have the cross that has forgiven us, what does that look like? How do you walk like a child of God? That's one of the questions. Just saying. I was going to ask, that's one of the questions I'm asking. Oh, no. That don't work. That's all. When questions are asked, I already preferenced that. You get an answer. That's a good one. I like that. You can respond. I lied to you on this one. What does it look like, though? If somebody was to look at you and I and say, that's a child of God, what would they see? If Peter said, this is so important, if Peter said, stay true to the word, stay true to your relationship with God, what does that look like to the world? Okay, having a helping ministry, being able to help people around you. Christ said, to help the least of these, you've helped me. What else does that person look like, Wendy? Okay. Okay. Yeah. They have a demeanor. They have a... We would probably call that a sweet spirit. They have just a very sweet spirit about them, and they're humble, they're kind, they're calm. We are all a work in progress. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. What else does that person look like? Okay, how do they handle what life throws? What are the ways? Okay. Sure. What you do and what you don't do. That goes hand in hand. Okay. Sure, sure. So, I mean, that fits into the plan just as much as what you do, what you don't do. Okay. Okay, where you go and what you do? Absolutely. Absolutely. Who you associate with. What else does it look like? Have we exhausted the list? I hope not. I hope not. What else can we throw into there? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a key phrase. We just know it. How do we just know it? Okay. Okay, the calm, the peace, those individuals. Anything else we can put in that? Consistent. I had the honor of walking in that prayer closet. Phenomenal. That prayer warrior movie has nothing over on Gordon. I remember when they sold the house, the guy walked in and said, "Ooh, this must have been somebody's prayer closet." And I think you could have done the same. Kim? And that's like adding on to Bill, this gentleman just lost his wife. It was a memorial service that I was honored to be a part of because of me working with him in the hospital. And he walked around and made sure everybody was okay. And just, you know, he asked me to pray for the food because he said, "I want to do it, but I know if I start, I'll be crying again. So would you do it for me?" So, I mean, it was just a joyful time. But he had put a spirit about him. You know, in the midst of all he was going through, he was still comforting everybody else. So he had that spirit. Did I see a hand? Yeah, Keith.
Pastor Lee is one of those
people. Pastor Lee's got a smile.
Every time I got up, no matter how bad his day was, or
have been. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's your legacy, brother. The man, the preacher who smiles. That's a good legacy. Well, there's a reason why I ask this. One, are you looking for them people? And what brings it together? Go to chapter 2 in your 1 John, and let's look at verse 28 to begin with. Now, John, the Apostle John, wrote the book. And he is coming to a point in this section. He just completed the section 12 through 27 to assure the readers of that their spiritual faith was valid, that it was real. The Antichrist was going to try to talk them out of it. And interesting, when he labels, I think he labels a lot of the false teachers Antichrists because it's plural. And we only know there's one Antichrist in times. So John is saying the Antichrists, those who came at it, and we talked this morning, what was their problem that Peter was addressing, Jude verse 4, that they were denying God and our Lord Jesus Christ. John calls them Antichrists. And it's interesting, as he calls them that, he said, "Listen, your salvation is valid. Nobody's going to take that away from you." And he finishes that up in that text. And then he comes to verse 28. And he says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So what John is saying in verse 28, first of all, it's very important. This little children is a neat phrase, because in the Greek, what that phrase means is that it's a term of affection, an affection from a teacher to a disciple or someone you're mentoring. You've built that bond of spiritual mentor, spiritual father, spiritual mother, spiritual leader in their life, and they look up to you as that leader, that spiritual leader. And you mentioned some of those people in your lives tonight, as we saw, what is it that you see in these people? And those people affected you because of the way they lived their life and their prayer life or their everyday life or how they handled life. It's a glow. It's a abiding in Christ look. In fact, when we see those words, abide in him, it's that word meno again, to remain. And this is the 10th time John uses meno from verse 6 to verse 27. And now 10th time in 28. John said, listen, you want to know what that person looks like? It's somebody who abides in Christ. How does that person get up? How did that gentleman at yesterday's funeral, how did he have that demeanor? How did he put a smile on his face every day? How do we have that peace in the midst of chaotic world? How do we become the calm, the silent presence of calm in the midst of chaos? You're not going to do it on your own. We are not going to have that peace, that glow, everything that was mentioned. We're not going to have that unless we abide. Because it's interesting, as John says that, as we abide in him, that when he shall appear, so when is that going to be? When he shall appear. When's he going to do that? Let me clarify the question, because you're both right. When the very first time he comes and we will not be ashamed would be the rapture. I worded it as he's coming on earth. Therefore, you would be right at the second coming. We're going to meet him in the air on the rapture. He's not coming all the way down here. The second coming is going to be after, when he comes and takes over, and then the 1,000-year reign begins. So I think when I appear before him, I don't want to be ashamed. And I know that in the life we have, the brokenness we live in, we've got things that we're going to answer for this side of heaven. But I am so grateful that in a twinkling of an eye, I'm sinless. Understand what I'm saying? In a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be sinless, because when I stand before him, it's forgiven. It's gone. And man, that's going to be a great day. John is saying, little children, you who are still walking on this earth, abide in him. Listen, folks, that's the only way that we can have any type of a demeanor of a child of God. Because being a child of God is not in us. Being a child of God, you can see, it's interesting, because you know, when you see somebody, you can say, boy, I see the family resemblance, you know, and, you know, the older I get, the more everybody says, I look just like my dad. And, you know, there was a picture of me, my brother, my dad, and my sisters. We had a family picture here in the summertime. And it's like, wow, I didn't, you know, how often do you look at all that in your own, you know? I'm looking at that, and I'm like, man alive, me and my brother, there's 9 years between us. He's 9 years younger, and we look like we're almost twins. I look young, he looks old. He probably didn't hear that, but anyway. But when you think about a child of God, you have no resemblance. There is no facial can see, boy, I see it. It's not in the physical. There is no resemblance of God in our lives. So what do they see? The more we abide in him, John 14, 15, he abides in us. They don't see you. They see Christ. Listen, we can't even muster up anything that looks like him in our life. There is no family resemblance. There is nothing that we have physically in any that he's going to have. This is a different concept of resemblance. It's a different concept of walk like a child of God. How is the world going to see us? How do they know? Because they're not going to see it in our features. But they'll see it in our demeanor. They'll see it in our life. And so when he says that in this verse, that we should not be ashamed before his coming, he goes on and says, if ye know that he is righteous, that he actually, being God, ye know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him. That's what we look like. We look like we're doing it right. We look like we are living the life how God intended us to live. Now, how would you define that? How do you define life in the way that God intended us to live? What words can you put to that? That's another question. Complete trust. Our actions are what? What do they look like? Okay. So how we react, okay, how we react correctly, okay? So we're still looking at the right, we're still going to act correctly. So how do you define that? Look, trust, how we treat people. Absolutely, your speech. Listen, you don't, and I hate to say this because I give the sailors a bad rap. You don't have to cuss like a sailor. Just talk about somebody. This is bad. This is bad. I don't hear so much the sin of the word itself, but he does see the heart. And just talking about somebody is just as wrong as cussing them out in God's eyes. So it's the right. What is correct? What is right? How else, what else can we throw into that? Right. What would Jesus do? How would he respond? How would he react? Because every one of us mentioned on what we would look like, every one of us mentioned character traits that we have seen in people. The prayer warrior, picking himself up and doing it, having the beauty in the midst of brokenness, just our outward expressions. Everything that we mentioned is the way people need to see, because that's probably how God would respond. That's how Christ would respond. I mean, did Christ get angry? Absolutely. There is a righteous anger. Did Christ humbly walk through and be able to deal with people? Excuse me. Whew, that was bad. Deal with people? I'm very humbly. Yes, absolutely. He was the humblest, and yet he was the strongest leader they've ever seen. In fact, I saw a little cartoon, and it had a cart being pulled by people and a man sitting in the cart. And the next clip had the same people pulling the same cart, except the man that was sitting in the cart is now helping them pull. And the caption underneath it says, a leader leads. You get out of the cart. You go and you do what you need to do. You need to be a part of it. Christ was that leader. And so, does he want us to lead? Absolutely. Does he want us to stand strong? Absolutely. Does he want us to be humble in our response to people? Absolutely. If we want to know what the correct way is, we got to know him. We got to abide in him. Listen, if Peter put the, or John put that in here 10 times in this chapter, it was important. God knows that we need repetition to get it. And so when we pull this out and we see what's going on in this whole process, we know that Verse 29 says that basically the reality of a new birth. This is the first time that actually John mentions this concept of new birth in this text. And it's, if we know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteous is born. It's the new birth. It's the old things are passed away. All things become new. It's the new man. And so we need to be looking different. We need to be acting different in our lives. We need to walk like a child of God. That is to walk correctly. And the only way we walk correctly is the abiding. Because when we put this into perspective, when we put this into the abiding, again, interesting, born of God or born the new birth or the birth that Nicodemus couldn't figure out at first, it's interesting. Because it goes down into chapter 3, it doesn't close there. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." This is a spiritual discernment. Because you and I, now let's just mention some of the, Gordon was mentioned, some other people were mentioned that we've seen, Brother Lee, many other people. Those people that we mentioned, that we see something in their life, what would the world say they are? Would the world, an unsaved person, come in and say, "But they were a prayer warrior"? Yes or no? Would an unsaved person say that? Absolutely not. We know they're a child of God because we know what a child of God should look like. To an unsaved person, that person that is humble, that person that is seems like they're joyful and they're peaceful and all that, to an unsaved person, they're like, either something's wrong with you or you got something I don't have. They don't know. Because that verse alone in verse 1 is important, because it's the manner of love that we could be called sons of God. To the world, they don't know us. To the world, they don't know we are children of God. They don't understand the characteristics. But reverse that. Should they see something different? Absolutely. And folks, that makes the difference in our life today. If they don't see something different, how will they ever know there's something different? If we don't have that difference, they won't know there's a difference. And therefore, all they're going to see is, "Well, that's a good person. That's a good guy, man. I should maybe befriend that guy. I don't know. So he's a good man, good lady." I mean, they don't know. And we know because, again, we have that abiding. We have that common thread. We are the born ones, basically. They are not. Verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We have no resemblance of him right now. None. We have no physical resemblance, and we can only have a very small portion of his love, portion of his kindness. It's the communicable attributes. God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." God says, "Love because I loved you." We have portions of that, but you can't love somebody like God does, can you? It's impossible. You cannot love someone like God does. You cannot think about, care about, and love someone like God does. Because it's not in us. It is not in us to do that. So we have a portion of, and this is what's really neat about verse 2, is that there be a day, basically, that we will, as he appears, we're not right now, we're sons of God, but we don't look like that. We don't appear like that. But there'll be a day that we do. When we see him, we'll understand. When we see him, we will know that there is something greater, that there is something out there that we will be a part of. Because when we understand what that means in our life, basically verse 3 adds to it, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Folks, that's you and I. Change my heart, O God. Purify me, God. Make me better than I am. God, I can't do this without you. I cannot live this life without you. Because the word hope in verse 3 arrows up to verse 2. Because you know what? I want to be like him. I want to live my life on earth so that I can be as much like him as possible. And the only way that's possible is I need to abide in him more. It's not my mind coming up with the right decisions. It's not my heart loving the unlovable. It's not me and my hands doing for those that need something done. I'm the vessel. It's God in me that does all those things. Because if I don't give him the credit and I try to take the credit for that, man, shame on me. Shame on us. Our abilities, our gifts, our thought process, our reasoning, anything that we do that shows a child of God is only because he is doing it through us. And man, I can't stress that enough. And I think one of the reasons why the world doesn't see what a child of God looks like as much as they should is because we're out there trying to do it on our own. We're out there trying to fix things. We're out there trying to make things. We're out there trying to manage our life without him. And you know, everybody all yell, oh, I have my devotions. I pray to him. I ask God for his help. Okay, so he didn't answer you today for his help. What do you do tomorrow? Are you still going to pray and wait for him? Or are you going to pick it up and do something about it? It is so easy to pray to God. Man, I leave things at his feet all the time. Let me rephrase that. I lay things at his feet all the time. Leaving them there is a whole different ballgame. But you know what? If I want to have him and abide in him, I need to learn to leave him there. I need to learn to let him deal with them. And I want to tell you the faith that that takes to be able to just say, God, I'm going to wait for you. God, I'm going to lean on you. And as much as we do that, guess what? We walk in this world like a child of God. And they see those things, the calm and the storm. They see our lives. Listen, we're not perfect, right? Either you don't want to confess or you ain't agree. No, I don't know what, but no. We are not perfect. And yet we understand that through our imperfections, they still see Christ. Isn't that amazing? Through all of our imperfections, they can still see Christ because we are getting out of the way and we are allowing them to see him do everything through us. That's a humble attitude. It's a humble heart. And when we have this humble heart, we will, again, in verse 2, we don't know at his appearance. We don't know what we shall be, but we know that we shall appear when we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Man, that's going to be a great day. We're going to see him, Christ. We're going to see God for all his glory. And we're going to know what we should have been. We're going to know. And, you know, when we try to think of eternity, sometimes I try to grasp my mind around that word. And I can't. I can't even begin to imagine eternity. I can't imagine a place where once I get there and once I see him, I know what I'm going to look like and be like, and I will never change forever. Wow. Isn't that something? Some of us change from minute to minute. Our thoughts, attitudes, joys, sorrows. We change. For people who don't like change, we change a lot. Why? Because of the world we live in. Man, a place forever that we are not going to change. We're not going to grow old. We're not going to sound like a bowl of Rice Krispies when we walk down the hall in the morning. It's going to be no more snap, cracking, and popping. It's going to be great. Forever. But you know, that's then. John is addressing, I think, very important What about now? What about now? And so we have the abilities within us because why? We abide in Christ. We have those abilities. It says in verse 3, our hope in being like Him is here. Every man that has this hope, I want to be like Him. I want to be there. I'm saved. I'm His child. I want to be there. We have this hope in Him. Purify yourself. Again, create in me a clean heart, O God. Change me. Challenge your thinking for a moment. How many times last week did you think about how you or how someone else needed to change? Someone else needed to change. If the government was better, we'd be better. If this was better, they changed, then I would be okay. And John is saying something completely different. John is saying, change me. You see, when we change us, by how? Purify. David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God. Search me. Try me. God, I want to be like You. That's purifying. And when we purify ourselves, according to verse 3, we have that hope. Verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever, here's the word again, abideth in Him, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not, hath not seen Him, neither know Him. That sounds like a verse of perfection, but it's not. And what he is simply saying in verse 6, very important in the passage, John examines the question whether the person born of God can commit sin. How would you answer that? Can a person saved, born again in God, commit a sin? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why verse 3 is so important. Purify yourself. God knew we weren't going to be able to be perfect. God knew we were going to sin. Purify. Listen, man, every day we ought to go through our day constantly. Consistency. How do we have a consistent life? Constantly purify our minds. Okay, in the last 15 minutes, did I do anything? Did I say anything? And listen, that may sound like something that's very difficult. Every 15 minutes, I got to check. Pretty much. And I remember in college, when I was in there, one of the professors, I don't have time to do, I had so much reading. And he had me do a chart for 1 week. Every 15 minutes, I had to write down what I did. Every 15 minutes. Took me one day to realize I was in trouble. Because that man knew what he was doing. Because every time I filled out 15 minutes, I realized that I probably just wasted 15 minutes of doing something manual that I could have been doing my study. And so his lesson was learned early. But I finished out the whole week, and I went and I showed him. And I said, there'll be no questions anymore. He just smiled. He knew. You see, if we would approach God like that, every 15 minutes, am I okay? Sooner or later, it's going to become a lifestyle. They say 28 days to take a habit. After a few months, it becomes a lifestyle. So it doesn't take long, but what it does take is a constant abiding and a constant purifying to have that walk like a child of God look that other people see. Saved world will see it, and they'll know, wow, man, this guy's got to be a child of God. The unsaved world will see it and say, what do you have that I don't? Either way, we encourage. Either way, we get to share Christ to the saved and the unsaved alike. And that fits in with finding us faithful. Lay it behind so those coming behind us know what is the truth, what is the faithfulness. Any questions or any comments on all of that tonight, Ronnie? Mm-hmm. Not physical, spiritual. Yes, everybody has the ability. See, there's an interesting discussions. I call them discussions. Keep them in discussion. That every human has God in them. Now, on a theological note, they would say, no, they don't. But God breathed life into man. Every man has the breath of God, but not every man has the Savior God. There's a difference in that. So, yes, humans have that image or that inner image of God, and we call it the trichotomy, the three parts of man. We have that, but it's interesting when you try to dice that down. In order for us to show the image of Christ, the unsaved aren't going to be able to do that, because the saved are for the saved. Saved things are for the saved, and the unsaved are for the unsaved. So they're not going to understand how that all works. But when we believe and we accept Christ, all of that opens up. And now Christ can work through us, and Christ can work in us. And they see something different, because we can't muster it up on our own. Exactly. That's the same hope he's talking about. When he appears, we won't be ashamed if we abide in him. If we stay as close to him as possible, we will not be ashamed. Because everyone wants to hear well done, right? I mean, we stand before him, we want to hear well done, my faithful servant. We want to hear those words. Well, we're practicing up. We're preparing up for those words. And the only way to do that is to constantly abide and constantly purify. That's what John was saying to these people. Any other questions? Any? This is good. Keep the. I'd like to hear the questions or comments. All right, so what are we going to do when we go home? Don't say get a pizza. That's not on the agenda. Listen, abide in Christ. A child, abide in Christ and purify. Listen, we're smart enough to know when things aren't quite right. We know. We know that things aren't quite right in our lives or our minds or whatever. We know. Purify. And I'm telling you what, the more you abide, the more you purify, the more people are going to say, that man, that woman knows Christ. And it won't be because they see you pray at the restaurant. It won't be because they see you do one good deed. They're going to know because they see the sweet spirit. They see the glow. They see the joy. They see the availability that we have to be able to handle life. And, you know, sometimes we don't handle it well. That's the way life is. But, man, when we get back up and we show who he is because of what he's done in our life, that makes a difference. And people will pay attention. Do you know how the world names that? The world will look at you and say, you've earned the right now to talk to me. Because I've seen you go through the pain. And I've seen you get back up. You've now earned the right to talk to me. I've heard it many times in my life. You've now earned that right to talk to me. And we think, really? I'll show you earned. What do you mean I earned the right? That's the human side. I shut that off every now and then. But we get that thought process, and what they're saying is, I've seen something in you that makes me want to know now what you have to say. Because before they didn't see it. Before they didn't realize it, they didn't know it. So I'm telling you what, it's amazing. It's awesome. And it opens up so many doors. I was honored yesterday to be able to be a part of the memorial service. It was unique. I mean, it was great. We was in a Methodist church, and Methodist preacher and myself, we did the service side by side. And the one statement, I had the one opening of God's grace. And it was a written text in their book, and they, you know how they read through some of their prayers and read through some of those things. And he said, he really wants you to stay close to the book. Read the praise. I said, okay. He said, but when you open in prayer or close in prayer, you don't have to read the prayers. I said, okay, that sounds good to me. So I did, man. I opened the book, and I read word for word what their book said on the grace of God. And then I got to pray. And then we prayed for that grace. We prayed, and it was phenomenal. God has opened so many doors. Man, when you're on the front line of ministry, which I pray all of you have a front line, man, he opens up so many doors. And it was just a joy to be among them. It was a joy to be among God's children. Denominations to me matter little to nothing. It's all about the kingdom. And there's a lot of Christians out there that don't carry your denominational name. And it's okay. They're Christian. Because God's sense of humor, he's going to put them right beside you forever. Get used to them now. They're going to be forever. They're going to be beside you. It's just a joy. And I'm going to tell you, it's overwhelming, but yet humbling. Kim and I went to see Tom and Shirley. Pray for Tom and Shirley. And if you get a chance to go visit them, go visit them. Shirley probably, she can't hear. She doesn't speak much. She just lays there, and she wanted to speak to us. You could see it in the pain in their eyes. And Tom, he just talks a mile a minute like he always does. And it was a joy. It was a joy to be able to talk to them today. Listen, we're missing out on some of these things. We need to be about. We need to be showing that we are children of God. And that's how we do it. We do it to everybody around us. So I trust you take it. Trust you abide and purify. Those two words take away tonight. Because as God uses you, and notice, God doesn't say, go do it. God says, you walk, I'll do. All he wants you to do is go. That's all he's ever asked. Do a study on the prophets of the Old Testament. Abraham, go to the land. Lot, get out, go. God just says, go. He doesn't say, now go do something. God says, you go, I'll do. And sometimes we get that mixed up. God just wants us to go. So I trust you do that. I trust you're encouraged by that as I am, and as many ways in which God can use all of us in many different places, in many different directions. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the study and, Father, the questions. And we realize that sometimes we make this Christian walk a lot harder than what it really is. It is hard to stay, yes. But man, just abide. It's a choice. We need to abide in you. We need to purify in you. When we know we say something or we do something or we go to those places or we're not showing that joy of Christ and we're not out in the ministry. And Lord, there are things we do and there's things we don't do. And God, I pray that you will allow us that discernment this week coming, that you allow us wherever you find us, that we will just go and you will work through us. And God, when that happens, I pray we pause for a moment and just thank you for being able to be a part of that. God, I just pray that everybody knows and sees and knows that we are walking like your children. God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. All righty. Thank you. You are dismissed tonight.